Now, on with the show.
This is Mouse World Radio.
Radio 1!
This is Walt Disney World Today Live. Call 407-278-5939, 407-278-5WDW to get on the show. Now, your host, Matt Hochberg.
Thank you, Mr. Boyce. This live show is being sponsored by Magic Meets, which is on Saturday, July 19th, 2008, in Camp Hill, Pennsylvania, just 20 minutes away from Hershey Park. Magic Meets 2007 sold out to the 540 people in just 10 short days last year, so be sure to visit www.magicmeets.com for all the information from 2007, as well as the information for the upcoming 2008 event. And this is, of course, live show number 17 of Walt Disney World Today, and it's Sunday, September 30th. I'm Matt Hochberg from MGMstudios.org. And starting out, I will introduce Mike Scopa of MousePlanet.com and All Ears Now. Welcome, Mike.
Cheer up, Jane. Maybe we'll all be together by next Christmas.
Carousel of Progress?
No. Oh, American Adventure.
American Adventure.
Right there, right at you. Have another jolt, Hochberg.
And also here is Len Testa, co-author of the unofficial guide to Walt Disney World. Welcome, Len.
How's it going, Matt?
What?
Outstanding.
What did you say, Matt? What did you say?
Huh? Can you hear us, Len? Can you hear us?
Barely. What's that ringing?
And also here today, working the boards, hopefully hasn't killed himself yet, it's Mike Newell of Mouse World Radio. Welcome, Mike.
I'm handing in my 2-week notice.
It's all right. You know, there's some delays. It happens. But good news is we are live, and it's assumably working, I think. So we are live right now, and you can call in at 407-278-5939. Many of you have already found us in our chat room, which you can find at wdwtoday.com. We've already got about 70 people in there right now, which is great. We've all been talking since 8 o'clock, even before. I know some people were in since like 4 o'clock this afternoon, if you can believe that. So certainly if you want to go in there and interact with us as well as some of the other listeners in there, it's a great place to talk to a lot of fun people in there. It's just a lot of interesting things. And, of course, the best part of chat is that they just make fun of us on the show, you know, in the chat about what's going on. You know, it's all a good time. 407-278-5939 is the number to call us at. And, you know, there's a lot of stuff going on in the coming months. We've obviously got the Tower of Terror 13K coming up at the end of October. We also have Food and Wine is underway. We have, obviously, Mickey's Not-So-Scare Halloween Party has been going on since, what, July?
Yeah, don't the Osborne lights go on tomorrow night?
Exactly. What, you mean they left? Wait a second, hold on.
So let's start, one of the more interesting things I guess we could start out with is Food and Wine. What have you guys heard about Food and Wine so far?
Oh, wait, Matt, just got Matt, started.
Yes, Len.
Before we get started, I just want to warn everyone that for the first hour of the show, so until 9 o'clock, I'm going to be a Disney yes man for the entire show. So anything that Disney does is absolutely fine by me for the next 40, 36 minutes of the show. Go ahead. Ask questions. Because <though. laughs> everything is magical where your dreams and wishes come true. And that's it. I'm going to try and work dreams, wishes, and magic into every answer, too. So go ahead.
Awesome, Len.
Yeah, I know. You know. I figured I'd been on the sidewalk.
So, Len, why don't you tell us about Stitch's Great Escape, your opinion on it?
It's a great family-oriented ride. It is fun for the entire family. Bring the kids, bring the grandparents, bring the neighbors. It's a wacky adventure where Stitch comes right into your lap almost, and mayhem and mischief ensue as Stitch tries to play all of his funny pranks on you. There's some smell-o-vision in there. There's lots of great, neat special effects. Kids just go crazy in it. And I'm sure the entire family will get it.
I get it. Very nice. Awesome. So, Mike Scopa, tell us about what your latest blog entry on All EarsNet has been about.
Right now, Matt, we're concentrating on helping all those who are planning on doing the Tower of Terror 13K and also, those who are training to do the, Walt Disney World half marathon and full marathon, and basically I'm just telling them what mistakes I've made so that they won't make the same mistakes that that I've made, trying to give them some kind of guidance as to, you know, what they should be doing at this point. I will be, over the next month or so, I will be talking about things to plan, like when's the best time to arrive, what they should be doing 48 hours, 24 hours before the race, what to expect. A lot of runners for their first races down there in Disney aren't really sure as to what to do. I know that I had no idea what to do, what to expect. So I'm going to be talking about, you know, what to do, how to pick up their race pack, what to expect a day or two before the race, what to expect on the day of the race, just anything that I can to get them prepared mentally and emotionally and just ready to do the race. And once race day comes, the adrenaline will take over and everybody will be fine. But basically just getting to the start line is a real, real big key in anything that you do with a Disney race. So that's what I'll be concentrating on over the next couple of weeks and couple of months.
You know, it's interesting to me, like, how much buzz there is about the races this year. Not only the Tower of Terror 13K, but the half marathon, the full marathon, all these different, I mean, I don't know, maybe it's just me, but it seems like the stock in terms of Disney racing has really been on the rise this year. And it's been the most hyped it's been since I can recall. Is that how you're getting that kind of a feeling?
Yeah, it's really big. I think one of the things that's making the Tower of Terror 13K race real popular is that, unlike the other races that are sponsored by Disney, especially the half marathon and the full marathon, there really isn't a challenging time factor in here. There's a pace that you need to maintain when you're running the half marathon and the full marathon.
Hold on. You mean for the Tower of Terror, there's not a challenging pace requirement?
2.5 hours, Len.
Oh, I thought you meant like a personal challenge. I'm like,
No. What is it?
Yeah, 2.5 hours for eight.
Yeah. That's,
two and a half hours for 8 miles. I mean, you could do that in your walker. Come on.
Exactly. I might have done those. But, yeah, I think that's one of the reasons why it's popular. Plus, it's October. It's Halloween. It's one of those fun races, you know. I mean, although 8.2 miles is nothing to sneeze at, but I think that's one of the reasons why it's so popular. And frankly, I'm really interested to see how many people are going to be running that race. I'm assuming that more people will be doing the 6.5K, which is 4.1 miles than the 13K. I think it's also real popular because it's the first nighttime road race ever sponsored by Disney.
Oh, they should so do more of these too, though. I mean, can you imagine if it started at midnight? Would that not rock?
It would be cool. How about starting the marathon at midnight? You know, and you know, I wouldn't put it past them to try to do that someday, well, Len, you know, to clear the roads before they open.
Yeah, you could start it at 9 p.m.
You know, it's really interesting, and I think a lot of it has to do with you. A lot of people I've heard, you know, read your column, and you know they've enjoyed what you've, you know, what you've done, and have really followed along with you. And I think a lot of it, I mean, believe it or not, I think comes from you. You know,
well, I think you're right, Matt, and I think the key is that I'm not built like a runner. I'm not, you know, I'm not the fastest guy in the world. I'm just like everybody else. And I think that when people say, well, heck, if he can do it, I can do it. You know, and I think that. That's the point that I wanted to make. You don't have to be a world-class athlete. You don't have to be, you know, you don't have to weigh 50 pounds. I mean, as long as you can train, listen to your body and stuff, you can do it. And I think that it's one of those things where I think a lot of people don't realize that they have it in them. But if they just, you know, look at what it takes to train and to accomplish it, I think that it really, it's really something that a lot of people can do, even you.
Laura, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, you're on with Mike and Len.
Okay, great.
Hi, Laura. This is Mike Scopa. How are you?
Hey, Mike. How you doing? I'm Goofy
Good.
Gal in the chat room, and I just have to tell you I love you.
Oh, thanks. I love you, too. Checks
in
the mail.
Am I on? Or?
That's a good question.
You're on.
No, I can hear you. You're on.
Oh,
I'm
no.
On,
now
on.
The world knows.
Oh, awesome. Awesome. And I wish you all a good Mangiello this evening.
Oh, we'll miss Mangiello's to you too.
Okay, awesome. All right, let me just tell you guys how much I really enjoy your podcast. I've had a really, really bad day because I'm a New York Mets fan, and you guys are making it much better. Thank you, thank you.
Lori, now you know how I'm feeling.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, to all the Mets always, fans, always you know, my condolences, and I'm a Red Sox fan, and I feel bad for you. I mean, it's just not, you just don't want to go through the whole season like that, and then all of a sudden at the very end just lose it. And I was mentioning to Mike Newell before we went on the air that I just hope they don't blame Willie Randolph, because he had nothing to do with the play on the field. It's the players that have to, you know, that have to be blamed for everything.
Yeah, I really hope they don't blame Willie. I know he's made a couple of bad things, but, you know, don't we all? But you guys, podcast is the best. It's the perfect thing when I don't have time for one of those marathon or half marathon long podcasts. But anyway, I do have two questions for you. First is for Len. I don't know if he can hear me, but we're going to Disney World just January 24th through February 4th, and we're staying at the French Quarter. We have it closest to the food court and to the buses. I currently have my travel agent requesting building 3 or 4, so are we okay with that?
Yeah, I think that Scope and I have talked about this before. Three's good. I think 5 as well.
Five is very good, yeah.
Okay. Is also good. And isn't 1, Mike, isn't 1 also close?
Is 1 on the other side?
Yeah, exactly. The other side of the food court.
Yeah, I think the way that they've designed that resort, it really doesn't matter.
No, I take that back. Sorry, it's 4.
Three and four, five and six. Those are 5 and 4 are the best. And then the second level best would be 3 and 6, I think.
Okay.
All right. So here's how it goes. If you look at the registration building for French Quarter,
right.
It's not quite surrounded, but the ones adjacent to it, left and right, are 4 on the left and 3 on the right.
Okay.
Behind that are 5 and 2. The farthest are 1 and 7 and 6. So okay. Yeah, 3 or 4 is great.
3 and 4. 2,
depending on where you get. 5, depending on where you get. It's fine.
Okay, awesome. Great. Mike, you are my favorite podcaster of all time, so I have to ask you, what exactly is the Scova Special with Elia? And if I order it in this manner, will the cast member know what I mean?
Oh, my God. The Scova Special.
They'll never know unless you ask.
Well, you won't be the first. The Scova Special is always confusing to a lot of people. I think Len sees it as just being the strip steak, the New York strip steak, but I see it as a certain combination of things. Number one, you start off with the field of greens, which is the salad.
Okay.
You also have the cheddar cheese soup, which is very, very good.
Mm-hmm.
Then you have the New York strip steak, and I have to tell you that, other than Cellier, I'm not sure if there is another restaurant on the property in which you can order the same entree and expect the same taste and the same quality. And that's one of the reasons why I like this restaurant and this entree, because it's always the same tasting steak. They just make it the best you could possibly make it. And then afterwards, of course, you have the dessert of your choice. But basically, that's it. The field of greens, which is the salad, the cheddar cheese soup, which is really great if you're going down in November and December and January, and the New York strip steak. You can't go wrong with that.
I've actually made the cheddar cheese soup here at home, so I'm interested to taste it there and see, you know, because it was awesome when I made it. So I'm really interested in seeing how good it is.
It's very, very good. And do you already have your ADR?
Yes, we do. We have our annual passes. We're ready to go. We're ready to go. We're going in January. We're going back again in December. We're doing a 7-day cruise and 4 days back at Port Orleans. So.
Wow.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. In June, we were lucky enough to go on the Mediterranean cruise. So that was pretty freaking awesome. And Italy. I mean, how does it get any better, Mike?
You're dining at the new Italian restaurant?
No.
Excuse me, ADRs.
Yeah, I'm glad you made ADRs for Le Cellier, because when I was there in August, I was talking to the cast members on the front desk, and I said, so I've noticed that people are coming in and you know, you're having like next to nothing for these walk-ups. And one of the cast members looked at me and he said, we're actually booked all the way up to end, including January. And I don't know if he meant the entire month of January, but But what that tells you is that that particular restaurant has become so popular, especially with free dining, that it's next to impossible to get an ADR there. However, I still would say if you're in Epcot and you happen to be walking by the Canadian Pavilion, it wouldn't hurt to go in there and see if there's an opening. And you never know. You know, you could have an opening there, but for those who are thinking about dining at Le Cellier, you know, be prepared to be, turned away.
Well, thank you so much, guys. I really appreciate it. I'll let you guys go so you can answer someone else's question and keep up the great work. I really enjoy it. And keep on writing those blogs, Mike. I really enjoy it.
Thanks, Laura. Before you go, where are you from?
I'm from Katy, Texas. I know it don't sound like Katy, Texas, but I'm a transplanted New Yorker. So
Katy, Texas. Yeah. It's Roger. That's where Roger Clemens lives, I think.
Oh, shut up. I hate him. Anyway, I do, Len, I do have Ding, the unofficial guide, sitting right next to you.
Thank you.
Okay, there you
Thanks
go.
Thanks very much.
No problem. I had to just give you a little something, something.
Thank you so much. Appreciate
it. Yeah, you guys take care. I love the podcast.
Have fun on your trip.
Right, thanks,
Laura.
Thanks for calling in.
Thanks for hanging in there today.
I'm
hanging in. Bye-bye.
Thanks.
Bye-bye. We have another caller here. Hi, who are we speaking with?
You're speaking with Nick from Buffalo, New York. How you guys doing?
Hey, Nick.
How's it going, Nick?
Oh, not too bad. You guys finally got on the air tonight.
Yeah, about time.
A couple weeks now.
What can we do for you tonight?
Well, I got a couple of quick questions for you guys. I know I've kind of gone through some of the older podcasts, and my family and I are going down in June to stay in the Wilderness Lodge for a couple of days, and I know you got a lot of questions recently about the Wilderness Lodge and the best rooms. The most recent one you had dealt with the concierge level, and another one in regards to a courtyard view room. Any suggestions for a woods view room? I know you say that the upper rooms are better, far away from the lobby. Does it really matter?
Aren't they the villas now? No?
Yeah, not the villas, just the regular, just a woods view room in the Wilderness Lodge.
I'm guessing that the Wilderness Lodge villas have taken all the woods view? No?
No.
If you were available, I booked it.
Yeah, they're still available. Okay, so if you're gonna ask for a woods view room, you're gonna ask for something that's facing northwest.
Northwest?
In the Wilderness Lodge. Yeah, northwest. So you want a room facing northwest. So if you look at the Wilderness Lodge, it's sort of a U, and the U is, the open end of the U is pointed towards Bay Lake, which is roughly at the 2 o'clock position. Right, so it's pointing towards like 2 o'clock on the clock.
Northeast.
So north is obviously is 12. So you want something that faces northwest because it's neither Bay Lake nor pointing at the villas. So
isn't that Magic Kingdom view?
No. Northwest. No. There's woods. So it's rooms 5004 to 5030, and 6004 to 6030. You could probably do in, so those two floors.
Well, which ones are the Magic Kingdom view areas? I mean, I didn't want to spend a whole lot of extra money on a room. I mean, especially since most people were not going to spend a whole lot of time in the room, but just out of curiosity.
Where would there be a Magic Kingdom view? I mean,
I didn't think there really was one there. I thought the trees would
Yeah, Mike, that's a hike, man.
There is a view. I received a photograph from a lady by the name of Deb Wills in my cell phone this week and last week.
I've heard of her.
And she had taken the picture from the Wilderness Lodge. And it was a picture of
the balloon.
Oh, wait a minute. It was a picture of the Contemporary. So I'm guessing that's.
Huh. Yeah, I don't know if you know this, Mike, but the Contemporary is a hotel. And the Magic Kingdom is a
Yeah, but you can see a little bit beyond that. You should be able to see like Space Mountain
through the windows. It's getting into a whole other area of peeping Tomism, I think, and I'm not sure about it. Yeah, I would say that the rooms in the northwest corner are pretty good for you, Nick.
Okay, that sounds pretty good. Now, I do have one other quick question about the Wilderness Lodge. Actually doing two rooms. My in-laws are going to be coming down with us. Now, my kids want a room with bunk beds. My in-laws, of course, don't want a room with bunk beds. Is it possible to get connecting rooms where one has bunk beds and one does not?
I don't think you're going to get a room with two sets of... So the bunk bed rooms that I've stayed in have a full size bed and then two bunk beds. So like, you know, one on top of the other. One on top of the other. I don't know that you can get a room with, how many kids do you have?
I have two kids. Yeah.
You can get a room with a, yeah, you can get a full and a, one with, a one room with a full and a bunk and then another room with a, I guess two fulls or two queens.
Is it possible to get them, you know, connecting rooms though?
Connecting though,
like,
yeah.
Different, you know, different areas or different floors, but.
That's gonna be tricky. You can always ask. I mean, the thing is that there's not going to be many. I'm thinking that they put all the bunk bedrooms, like in the Animal Kingdom Lodge, all the bunk bedrooms that I saw were room after room after room at one end of the wing, you know, at one end of the branches in a parking lot view. And okay. I don't know that they didn't alternate them. So your only chance would be to get the last bunk bed room before the regular rooms. And that would be, you can ask. It doesn't hurt to ask.
Okay. Now, one of my other major questions was what type of refurbs are going to be going on in June and July of 2008?
Disney hasn't announced yet.
You guys were talking about Spaceship Earth being redone. Any word on any other major projects during that time period?
For next year?
Yeah.
No, they haven't announced them that far out, but I wouldn't be surprised if you see Space Mountain.
Okay.
Rocking Space Mountain.
Well, thanks for calling in. We appreciate your question.
Well, I have one more quick question for you, and then I'll let you guys go. I appreciate it. My son actually asked me to give you to run this question by you guys. He wants to know which resorts have the best water slides in their pools.
Oh, Yacht Club.
Yep.
Yacht Club.
Storm Along Bay.
Yacht Club's pretty good. Actually, Coronado Springs isn't bad if you stay there. It's both of those I think are better than the Wilderness Lodges. Although the Wilderness Lodges is pretty tame, and I like I think the Grand Floridians. Grand Floridian's pretty tame. Polynesian's pretty tame. Wilderness Lodge, pretty tame.
Yeah,
I think the Yacht Club has by far the best one, and probably Coronado Springs as number two.
Great, guys. Thanks so much again. I appreciate all your help.
Cool. Rock on.
Thanks very much.
Go to everyone there.
Take care, Nick.
Rock on.
Thanks for beating the Jets today.
Thanks, Nick. 407-278-5939, and you can call in and get your call answered. And do we have a new call already, Mr. Newell?
Rock on.
Hi, who are we speaking with?
Hi.
Hey, who is this?
This is Jennifer from Nebraska.
Hi, Jennifer. Hey, how are you?
I'm doing pretty good, actually. I wanted to first of all call and say thank you so very much. I called in the end of, oh gosh, what was it, March, and talked to you about a Easter trip.
Okay.
And one of the questions I asked you was which park would be the best idea to go to on Easter itself?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You guys threw me away from Magic Kingdom completely, said don't even think about it, and encouraged us to go to Epcot that day. Yep. And let me tell you, that was the best thing we did the entire trip. The day was amazing. Our six-year-old daughter got into this tea party with Alice that was you know, just on that day only. We got characters that are impossible to see. It was just an amazing day all together. So first of all, thank you for shooting us to Epcot because that was a great Easter. And so thank you.
Fantastic. Glad it worked out for you.
Oh, yeah. It worked really, really well.
Is someone
really
recording
well.
This? We're never going to hear this again. Is someone recording this? You were right, you know?
You guys were right. How about that? I'll say that, you know, loud and clear. You can record that for your wives and, you know, honey, look, listen, I was right.
I don't get to hear that too often.
Did you ever listen to the song?
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Unfortunately, Scope was right. Right.
But then I had another question for you.
Sure.
We are heading down again in July. And we're kind of already starting to look at meals. And we just found out that Nine Dragons, which for us is one of our favorite restaurants at Epcot. Mm-hmm. I know some of you guys don't like it very much, but it's one of our absolute favorites. The honey sesame chicken is to die for. We don't get anything like that here in Nebraska.
I just had that the last time I was there. It's not bad.
Uh huh.
It's pretty good. Well,
are we recording this?
Actually in Nebraska, huh?
I know.
Nice Noel.
But, so we found out that's going to be refurbed while we're down there. And so we're needing a restaurant to go to. Table service, we are doing the dining plan. So we are needing a table service meal, and I was curious if you guys could come up with any
Is it to have to be at Epcot, or it can be another park?
The park.
Does it have to be
another
park?
It doesn't really matter. We're eating twice in the Magic Kingdom. We're eating twice at MGM. And then right now we have three listed for Epcot, and one of those was Nine Dragons.
You know, a great restaurant that's underrated in my estimation is at Morocco. It's not Tangerine Cafe. That's the counter service. I'm struggling to remember the name of the full service, but that's a great place to try out.
Restaurant
Marrakesh. Thank you. Great option. Easy to get reservations for because people are just afraid of it because it's Moroccan food, and since there isn't a Moroccan
restaurant. My husband has a fear of curry, so.
There's really not a lot of curry. That's more India than Morocco. Yeah.
So get the the Marrakesh feast. I believe it's the is that the one for two people?
That's the one we
have. Yeah, it's like a sampler.
Yeah, it's like a sampler of everything, but and it's all mild. It's
couscous chicken.
It's not very ethnic at all. Yeah, it's really good. The
lamb is great over there.
Right, yeah, we tried it in Mexico, and honestly, the kids didn't eat it. And I wasn't overly thrilled with it either at Mexico. It wasn't the type of Mexican food we were expecting. And it's just something that we're very much the taco burrito kind of family when it comes to Mexican food. So that one, we've crossed that one off our list. And like Rose and Crown, I have learned how to make their Guinness stew better than they make it. And I make it about once a month.
Really?
Yeah, when we were down there two times ago, I asked for the recipe, and they gave me the recipe card. And I've actually learned how to make it better than they do.
I think it'll sell your husband on Morocco is the simple fact that there are belly dancers in the restaurant.
That'll do it. Yeah, because he has this thing. You know, when we saw Jasmine last time, she was looking, I guess, pretty hot. So.
So there you go. That's a great option right there.
There you go.
Wonderful. That'll do it. Thank you so much, guys.
One more thing. Jennifer.
Yeah.
So save a room for the baklava sampler dessert. It's do you know what baklava is?
Baklava.
I've had it before. Baklava. Yeah. Baklava.
So it's a really thin phyllo dough pastry covered, essentially filled with honey and butter, maybe topped with nuts or chocolate.
That's a must do.
Yeah, exactly. I think each little slice, I think, has something like 850 calories, but definitely well spent.
But don't you know that if whatever food you eat at Disney does not actually count?
Food does not count on your calorie count. It don't count. Exactly.
Well, thanks for calling in, Jennifer. We appreciate it.
Okay. Well, thank you, guys. Bye-bye.
Thanks.
Right. Bye, Jennifer.
So if you get the baklava sampler, you get like four pieces of baklava, right, for the dessert. Each one of them, I think, really is 850 calories. So your dessert could be like 3,400 calories.
Nice.
Just the dessert. You could eat lard. You could eat Crisco straight from the tub, and not 3,400 calories.
Comes with a Roto-Rooter coupon.
I know. Here, drink this.
We have we have another caller already. Hi, who are we speaking with?
Hi, this is Catherine.
Hey, Catherine. I just wanted to take a moment right here before we get to your call to remind all of our listeners that this episode of Walt Disney World Today is being sponsored by Magic Meets, which is being held on Saturday, July 19th, 2008 in Camp Hill, Pennsylvania, which is just 20 minutes away from Hershey Park. As you recall, Magic Meets 2007 sold out to its 540 guests in just 10 days. So if you're interested in coming 2008, be sure to visit www.magicmeets.com for all the information from 2007, as well as information for the upcoming 2008 event. And now, Catherine, I will be more than happy to answer your question. Why don't you go ahead and what's our topic for tonight that you're calling in about?
Well, we're actually leaving for Disney World on Tuesday. So we just spent the day packing, and I tried to put Len's book in my bag, but it's just too darn big and it won't fit. So we have to leave it home, unfortunately.
No, but, bring the book.
Yeah.
Cut out the touring plans from the back.
We probably will do that. I actually printed off a bunch off the website. So.
Okay, cool. Thanks.
My question was, we're going on October 4th. We're doing the Princess Breakfast in Epcot in the morning. And then we're going to the Mickey's Not So Scary at Night. And I'm just trying to figure out what we could do that day that would just not feel like we're jumping all over the place.
Catherine, go ahead, Len.
Do you have kids, Catherine?
Yep.
How old are they?
Actually, we're just bringing my 6-year-old daughter. And we're all dressing up, so we do have to go back to the room in the middle of the day at some point.
Yeah. So why don't you do Epcot in the morning? So this is on the 4th, you said?
Yep. Which is,
so why don't you do so do Epcot in the morning? I would definitely go back and take a nap. Maybe eat lunch in Epcot, go back and take a nap, and then head over.
Oh,
to
we never take naps.
Really?
Yeah, we just make our kids go.
But the potty will be late.
That's all right.
Yeah.
She's good like that. Yep.
Are you visiting the espresso stand that we just mentioned in Morocco for the 6-year-old?
No, she's good.
I mean, your plan, Epcot first and Magic Kingdom is exactly what I would recommend. I don't think you have to do anything to deviate from that. I would say that if you want to find a couple decent places to rest in the Magic Kingdom, we've always said that the movie theater behind the Exposition Hall on Main Street is pretty good.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But I mean, your schedule sounds great.
Sorry, I was just wondering what time we should actually head over to the Magic Kingdom. You know, should we spend the day in Epcot or go over to the Magic Kingdom earlier?
I don't think they're going to let you in for the Mickey's Not So Scary before 4 o'clock, right? So head over there around, 4 or 5, something like that. Whenever you get bored, you can just head over there.
Yeah, and
where are you going to park? Where are you staying? You're staying on Disney property?
Yeah, Saratoga Springs.
Oh, so it doesn't matter. Yeah, okay.
Yeah. And we have a car, so.
Yeah, I would just take the bus, though, to Epcot, and then just take the monorail or the bus over to, or just take the monorail over to the Magic Kingdom. You don't want to fool with having to get your car back. Just take the bus.
Cool. Okay, sounds great.
Great. Well, thanks for calling in with that.
Thanks.
Thanks for having the plan.
Bye-bye. 407-278-5939. And you can give us a call, and we'll put your call for answer, your question, whatever it may be. And we've got another caller. Hi, who are you speaking with?
Hello.
Hi, hey. Caller.
Hi, this is Dave from Illinois.
Hey, Dave.
Hey, Dave, what can we do for you tonight?
Well, I just had a question for you guys, a couple of them, actually.
Go ahead.
My wife is going to be 4 months pregnant when we visit in December, and I didn't know if Len, I am a touringplans.com subscriber, didn't know if they had any touring plans for expectant mothers.
For expectant mothers? Ah.
Don't you have a plan that goes at any particular time, just keeps on running by it just in case?
No, we don't, but we do recommend the plans for seniors, actually, as a good starting point for those. Because generally the plans for seniors are going to avoid all of the same kinds, all of the attractions that have the warnings about, your back or your neck or if you're pregnant. They avoid all those, yeah.
Okay. And my other question was about tickets. I know that if you buy a park ticket, let's say you were to buy an 8-day park ticket and you use 2 days of it and then you wanted to use the other 6 at the different date, you would get the no expiration option. My question is, what if we knew we would not be going back for 4 or 5 years and just bought a separate park hopper ticket to keep it, to buy it at the current rates? Would it still be good in 5 years, or would they cancel it after a certain time?
No, it'll be good. It should be good forever.
Okay, so I should be able to buy it at the current rate to save it, right? As long as I don't use it, and it just stays as it is.
So and it's a decent strategy if you don't use it, because remember remember the term though is it expires 14 days after its first use, so at this point don't use it. The interesting thing is that the tickets are going up 15-16% a year minimum.
Right.
Over 5 years. Yeah, and
if we had a pretty good expectation that we would be going back within 4 or 5 years, it would be financially wise to purchase the tickets, put them in the safety deposit box, not touch them, and then when we go, we have bought the ticket to 2007 prices, yet by then they'll be, $700 for 2 days or something like that.
Exactly. I mean, I don't know that, by that time, actually, it might top 100 if the annual increase is 100 a day. But,
go ahead.
The thing you always want to look at when you're putting money away, when you're investing money for that long, is your opportunity cost. Like, what else could you be investing in that you would get the same rate of return? You're not going to get the same rate of return. I mean, just not,
Right. Now, I am also the one from Dave from Illinois who's been talking with you about Van Halen, and are you getting to go to a show?
I've been to two, Dave. Thanks for asking.
You've already been to two?
I went to the first two, exactly.
Couldn't fit any more in it.
I had a choice between that, and I'm a Cubs fan, and my Cubs made the playoffs, and I figure that David Lee Roth is more likely to get back with Van Halen again than the Cubs are to make the playoffs, so I had to go had an opportunity, so I'll be going to Wrigley Field next week, and I had to pass up a concert.
Yeah, I can only hope that they stay around long enough for you to see Van Halen. There's actually a December 30th show in Las Vegas that looks really interesting.
And were they good?
They rocked. It was great. I mean, the sound was incredible. The vocals, everything was just tight. It was really good.
Awesome. Okay. Well, thanks for taking my call, guys. Have a good night.
Hey, Dave, we want Cubs Red Sox in the World Series.
Happy Festivus.
Happy Festivus.
Happy Festivus. All right. Thanks for calling in, Dave. Appreciate it.
It begins with the hearing of grievance.
The meetings begin.
We have another caller. And hi, who are we speaking with?
Tom calling of Omaha, Nebraska.
Hey, Tom, what can we do for you tonight?
Hey, Tom.
Well, I'm just happy to be on the show. We're going to be visiting the world in April 2008, and I have two questions about the water parks.
Okay, go ahead.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, do both water parks usually offer the morning extra magic hour during the springtime?
Springtime. Ooh, good question.
Like April.
Are April hours out yet on DisneyWorld.com?
No, I'm really looking forward to the general park hours being out tomorrow, hopefully.
Yeah, they should be out tomorrow. And then they should have the extra magic hour schedule announced soon after that. April? I'm going to go on a limb here and say that one park will. When in April, Tom?
Early April. And so we're hoping for both, but if just one, I guess we'll live with that.
Yeah, I think one will. At least one will.
Okay.
If for nothing else, then
second question,
pick up the residual.
The second question is directly for Len. I purchased the 2008 unofficial guide, and I'm also a subscriber to the touringplans.com. And I've wondered why there are no touring plans for the water parks. For example, when we were visiting last year, we ended up in an incredibly long line for Gangplank Falls after having already experienced the storm floods. With knowledge now, I'd know to do the Gangplank Falls earlier.
So we've started working on them. In fact, one of the things that I did when I was with my daughter in June and July this year was to start formulating a strategy for the touring plans. We'll definitely have them by the time you go, Tom.
Okay, and they'll be on the touring plans website then?
Yep. So if you're already a subscriber, you'll get them for free.
Very good. Well, thank you guys. Yep. Aside from that, love the shows. Appreciate all the work you guys are doing.
Thanks, Tom. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Tom.
Take care, Tom.
472-785-9939, and I think we have a call coming through. And hello, caller. Who are we speaking with?
Hi,
what's your name? Where are you from?
Mike, in Houston, Texas.
Hey, Mike.
Go rock
today,
Mike.
I already sent a mail on one question to you guys, and I had a second one. We're staying with our two young sons in early December in Coronado Springs.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And the resort we're staying in is their convention center one, and we're looking for the best buildings to ask for.
Ooh, okay. Do you have kids, Mike?
Yeah, 4 and 7.
Are they going to go to the pool?
Yes.
Okay, so Casita, hold on, the cabana's 8A.
Okay. 8
Alpha is located right between the, and I'm looking this up in the book, it's located right between the bus stop and the pool.
Oh, that'd be great.
Yeah, it's really good. And there's also like a little playground there, the Explorers playground for kids. The ones on either side of that are 7 Be Like Boy and 8 Be Like Boy.
Okay.
And there's that's Rancho's 7B. It's the Cabana's 8A and Cabana's 8B.
Okay, great.
Yeah.
And one other question. Mickey's Very Merry Christmas. We've got tickets on the 4th of December.
Yep.
And our question is it better to go after the rides or catch the shows or what?
Mr. Scopa?
Mike, I think we've mentioned this before. When you're going to, basically, my feeling is that Mickey's Not So Scary and Mickey's Very Merry Christmas, you're paying extra to see some extra things in there. So what you may want to do is you may want to be very careful that you don't waste too much time on the attractions. When you go, here's the suggestion that I would give you, and that is that during the first showing of the Christmas parade that night, you may want to head over to Fantasyland and do the attractions there. But keep track of the time, and if you can, have a watch with a lighted dial so you can easily see the time, because there are certain shows that are scheduled throughout the night, and you want to make sure that you don't miss those shows. But keep in mind that the Mickey's Very Merry Christmas Party is one of those ticketed events in which the attractions should be secondary to you making sure that you see the shows that are put on specially for that night. Make sure you see the parade. Make sure you see the fireworks. And, you know, get your $50 cookie, you know. So that's the advice I'd give you right now.
Well, thanks a lot, guys. I just found you about a month ago, and now my iPod has everything I can get my hands on from you.
Awesome. Oh, that's terrific. Thanks for calling, and thanks for listening.
All right. Good night.
Take care.
All right. Good night. 407-278-5939. You can give us a call.
Hey, guys.
Hey, who are we speaking with?
John from New Jersey, Aberdeen.
Hey, John.
I met you guys at Magic Meet.
I had a couple questions.
I'm sorry?
I definitely remember you. I know we went to the bar after. We met you. You hung out at the table quite a bit.
I think he was saying he was sorry for meeting you, Matt.
Thanks, Len.
I had a couple questions about the mayor in January about spectators getting around. I had emailed Scopa about using the monorail and was just curious as to what time the monorail will probably start. I know that the race starts at 6. Do you have any idea about what time that's going to run?
Well, that's a good question. Trying to remember when it will begin to run. See if I have one of the pamphlets. I believe it begins to run sometime around 3 o'clock in the morning. I want to say that that's the earliest that it will begin. Somehow I think it's sometime between 3 and 4 a.m. because there are a lot of people who will be encouraged to use the monorail. They want as few cars on the road as possible, and they usually will say in the booklet that comes to all the participants in the race, there'll be some information in there as to what will be suggested for the people who are going to you know support their family members who are running, and I'm pretty sure it's sometime between 3 and 4. I was going to ask Len. Len, did you stay at the Poly one time, and did you take the monorail over? Somebody I know did, and I'm pretty sure they got on the monorail around 3 o'clock in the morning, 3 or 4.
That's pretty
good. So the two times I've run, we stayed at Wilderness Lodge, and my wife actually took the boat over to the Contemporary, then took the monorail. And then we stayed.
Yeah, but you left late. Didn't you leave like about 5 o'clock in the morning or 4:30? You left.
No, late? I left it. I was on the bus at 3. Okay. But it was a bus. And then the last time I stayed at Boardwalk, and it was bus again, but the bus didn't show up till like 5 o'clock. So we didn't monorail it. We couldn't. They wouldn't let us monorail it. We bussed it over.
Do you guys know anything about spectator credentials? Is there anything like that?
Nah, I mean, for where? Because they actually let my wife into.
My mom, when she called to get a room, said, "Well, the only way you're going to be able to get into the Magic Kingdom is if you have your credentials." And she's, you know, that threw her for a loop. And so I told them I'd ask you guys.
Well, I know that this past marathon weekend they were offering special perks to people who wanted to have access to the finish line and access to other areas, and I believe there was a price, and I'm not sure what that price was. But I think that what you'll see is as we get closer, probably around November, right around Thanksgiving, you may see posted some information on that. I think that what you need is some kind of, like you said, credential, or probably some kind of a pass that will let you in. I don't believe that they allowed anybody past Main Street USA, I remember running through the Magic Kingdom, and I don't remember seeing any other spectators other than what I saw in on Main Street USA, and I don't believe they let right. anybody into the park until all the runners were done, because we need to run through Tomorrowland, and we need to run through Fantasyland, then we come through the back of the castle, through the front of the castle, and then we run up Frontierland. So there's a possibility that they do allow everybody in. I mean, I saw people who were on Main Street USA who were friends of mine who I know would not pay a nickel to be there. So my guess is that they do allow people in there, but you need to get there early. It's very, very difficult getting around on that Saturday and that Sunday. It's just really, really, it's really a challenge to get anywhere. So my suggestion is to go early, to use the monorail. What you can do is you can do this. I would suggest as early as you can. What you want to do is you want to go to the Magic Kingdom, and you want to get in there as early as you can and find a spot on Main Street USA. Look for your family member or whatever. And as soon as that family member passes, what you need to do is you need to head back to the monorail. What you want to do is you want to take the monorail to the TTC, and you want to switch over to the Epcot monorail, and then you want to go over to Epcot, because and that may take a while to get there, but by the time you get to Epcot and find a spot, you'll be able to see your loved one run. And here's a suggestion: where you want to be to watch them is down near where the buses are in Epcot. That's the best place to find someone and take photographs of someone going into Epcot. And then once they pass you, then you can go into Epcot. Then you can go to the other side of the parking lot where the finish line is. But those are the two places that I would look for to watch anyone who's running.
Would it make sense to, if they're worried about getting to the Magic Kingdom early, taking a cab and getting dropped off to Contemporary and walking over?
That's actually not a bad idea. I've done that, and I'm telling you, the cab ride's like $10. And if you're going to pay $10 for your peace of mind, then go do it.
Okay.
Where are you staying, John?
Yeah. Pop Century.
Yeah. Okay, so it might be like $11, $12, yeah, but still, go do it.
We can't do it now.
No, you're spending $2,000 on your trip or $3,000 on your trip, whatever. Yeah, $12.
I'd take a bus to Epcot and take the monorail from Epcot to the Magic Kingdom.
Dude, it's gonna take him forever.
Yeah, okay. But it depends upon let's. He goes there, but people don't get. You don't get to the Magic Kingdom. The runners won't get to the Magic Kingdom until about 6:30.
Those are the fast guys.
Yeah. I mean, you don't want to be at Magic Kingdom forever.
That's true. Still, I don't like the idea of just, I don't know. Okay, so it's a time versus money thing. I think it's faster, John, to take the cab, but if you want to save the $12.
Okay.
What we'll do, John, is we're going to keep our eye on this, and when we get information, we'll talk about it on one of the podcasts, and just to make sure that everybody knows.
John?
Yeah, I'm actually going to be running the poll on Sunday.
Oh, cool.
So you can get
the These are all questions that my mother's been nagging me with.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's right. That's right. Yeah, you'll get a packet in the mail, John, sometime in November. It'll look like a large pamphlet, and it'll have all the information that you need to bring to pick up your race, your bib, your race number, and it'll have all that information on there, so you'll be able to see firsthand as to what they are recommending for people who need to pass on information to people who want to watch the race. Good, Lynn.
So here's the thing, and I'll just say the one more thing. I know we've gone on and on about this, but John, does your mother get around well?
Oh no, not at all. She wants to make sure she's on Main Street. She wants to know how early she should go. What's the best way to get there? I'm flying all the way down there. I want to see on Main Street.
Okay, I was gonna say because the thing is on Main Street, it's over in like 15 seconds, and you know you're running through. And if she really wants to get your attention and see you and everything, and ensure she sees you, actually walking behind the Polynesian out on the back end of World Drive.
Yeah,
is
Grand
much
Floridian
better
Drive?
Because
you talk about Floridian Drive, right, out of Magic Kingdom.
Right, so if she actually goes to the Grand Floridian and walks out the back onto Grand Floridian Drive, whatever it is, number one, there's very few people there, so you'll have a much better chance of seeing her and hearing her if she
yes.
calls you. Number two, that's the start of a long, lonely stretch of road. I'm telling
yeah.
you know, you're going to be all adrenalized going through the Magic Kingdom, but from the time you leave that
15 more
until
miles.
Until you hit, yeah, it's just, there's just nothing there, man. I'm telling you, you're going to need a
yeah,
lot of
people.
I
saw the road off of Floridian Way this summer and looked and said, oh. And
more like 17 more miles.
I mean, there is just nothing there. I hope they put a band or something back there, because, I mean, it was only like the last 2 miles or so to the 05 half marathon. And I was like, my, when is this going to end? It was just the biggest letdown, you know, after running through the park. And I think if your mom can get around at all, or if anyone else is listening and they're thinking about where to view the half marathon, that's a really good spot, because you get to that point and that's your long lull, you know, between the Magic Kingdom and Epcot. I think that might be more fun. So,
have
anyway,
her make a sign, too, that'll stand out, too. That'll help.
Exactly. Cowbells. Well, cowbells are also nice.
Cowbells.
You know, like the...
Thanks
like
for calling in, John. Appreciate it.
All right.
Thanks. Take care, guys.
John, good luck.
All right. Thanks, John.